ये कौन सर से कफन लपेटे
Mufti Sahib, Jazakumullah Khairan for joining us again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Gee, I just saw and I wanted to actually touch on that a little bit. I see Mr. Joe Genocide is suffering from a serious form of cancer and prostate.
So, yeah.
Just like his buddy there in the rogue regime, Israel, both suffering. So we hope, inshallah, this intensifies and finishes them up in this worldly life where we can see the humiliation. And of course, here we must state as well that sometimes people tend to think, but there are Muslims also with cancer, so why are you making a noise? But when it's for a disbeliever, that is not a means of salvation. It's not a means of sins being washed off. That is a means of direct punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also in this sense, where a non-believer does not know how to deal with that particular sickness. So inside, within them, it finishes them. And when you're a Muslim, when you're a believer, and someone suffering from a sickness, the words which you say is, La ba'sa tahurun insha'Allah, sunnah masnoon du'a. There's no worries, absolutely no worries. It's a purifier for you, insha'Allah. So we can see the world's difference, the world's apart difference.
Yeah. And for Muslim, death is a gift.
Yes.
Right? Hadith says that death is a gift for the Muslim.
Hmm.
So, yeah, we welcome it. Alhamdulillah, for the Muslims who die like this.
Hmm. Then the other thing is, which you want to speak about as well, is I saw that disturbing article you sent me over the weekend of Pakistan. And that was, I don't know, for you it's probably not surprising, but for us it's surprising because we say Muslim country and look how much we're still recovering from that celebration of how Pakistan toppled the helicopters in India and all of this. Yeah, we're still recovering from that excitement. And here, a bomb within where they basically like slam their guns against Islam. And you can just read it as I will get the article. I'll read it directly from the headlines. But basically, Mufti Sahib, you can give us what is happening with this whole thing, criminalizing underage marriages, so-called underage marriages.
Well, yeah, child marriage. They're the United Nations and other organizations are, quote, strongly against this. It's like a violation of human rights and it's oppression to women, allegedly. So Pakistan is part of the world body. It's not any different. Okay. So, yeah, they have laws now. It's always been in Sindh province, and Punjab, where Islamabad is. But now they've added Islamabad and the areas around Islamabad that a girl cannot be married under the age of 18. Okay. Well, really, no one can be married under the age of 18.
Mm.
Okay. They're considered children. So I looked it up just to see in Pakistan in 1870, they use an 1875 law, okay, which when India was under the British, okay, they implemented this law, the age of majority would be 18. So this is part of the Pakistan constitution, okay, that you become an adult at 18. Although in Islam, the latest you can become adult is 15.
Okay.
So when people say, when ulama say, who defend Pakistan, who say that the constitution of Pakistan is Islamic document, that's a stretch from the truth. Okay. It's a stretch from the truth. All right, but now you're practicing Muslim and you have to choose between secular law and Islamic law. All right, this clearly contradicts the Sharia that you can't marry until 18. If this was enforced during the time of the Prophet Salasim, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she would have never been able to marry the Prophet Salasim. Because when he died, she was 17.
Mm.
Okay? So, come on, people. But, you know, nowadays, the people in general have no problem with girlfriend, boyfriend, you see, under the age of 18. All right? What is Valentine's Day all about? Okay? And Valentine's Day is here now in Pakistan. Okay? But to marry? Okay? To marry before 18? No, you can't do that. So this is something I talk to people about all the time over here. I say we are the biggest hypocrites here in Pakistan. Okay? We claim to be Muslim. We send our girls to school. Okay? To secular school. Okay? With boys. But all the schools here are co-ed. Okay? And you go to school with a boy who's in your neighborhood for 10 years. And you become boyfriend, girlfriend. You go to his birthday party. She goes to your birthday party. Okay? And your parents know each other. You exchange gifts at Eid. Huh? You go to college, university. And you start saying, well, I'd like to marry this one. And so you go to your parents, and your parents say, no. Well, why not? Because he's Punjabi. And we're Urdu speaking. No, we don't marry Punjabis. Okay? So the girlfriend-boyfriend relationship is looked upon okay, is even encouraged, but marriage?
No.
No. No. Okay? You're too young to get married. You can't marry now. You can't marry a Pathan or this and that. So many restrictions for getting married, but to do zina is very easy.
And I'd like to.
If you are a parent and you want to protect your children, okay? Like the Prophet Salasim said, that if a boy or a girl becomes balig and they're not married and they commit zina, part of the sin is on the parents. So parents, please marry your children as soon as they are ready. Okay. So now, if you're 8, if you're 15 and you're balig, all right, I had students in my class that I have taught, they have finished their HIVs, and now they're learning to get their metric, and they were under 18, and one of my students, now he's in madrasa, he wanted two wives. He had that much desire, okay? But his parents are holding him back, guys, and you have to get this boy married. You see?
Yeah. And I just like to add to that, here in South Africa, it's a common practice. So it's got nothing to do with Islam, of course. And you can just hear clearly that it's absolutely against Islamic teachings. So parents tend to say that, you know what, my child, he is... there's so much of fitna out there, they'll say. And to save him from the drugs and such bad, evil things, rather he has a girlfriend and we know about it and let them go out together, let them go to a restaurant, let them eat together, let them... But at least it's done under our supervision. And what we're saying here is parents are sanctioning these things. And it's
right.
Fine. So, and why they're doing it is because, no, to save them from the bigger evil, which is drugs and the rest. So, but what does Quran Sharif tell us? Quran Sharif tells us that this action of zina is fahisha. And once the doors of fahisha opens, that means there's no limit to it. They're going to go into drugs either way. Or whichever.
Yeah, go to drugs with that girlfriend. what happens when a girl gets pregnant and they're not married? That's okay.
Well, now you know, it's like almost, it's become a norm, and people tend to find it much more easier for their, I would say, for their thinking, for their reputation also. Just use abortion, no one will know. Because taqwa is gone out of their lives. So a Muslim will just say, abort, nobody will know, ask for forgiveness. But you're murdering a baby, whether it is still in the fetus form, whichever form. The fact is you murdered a soul.
Yes.
But where does this,
yeah, so
going
now
back,
with this law in Pakistan, we have, if you marry and the girl is I like the way they say, if the girl under 18 marries an adult, well, but so then I had to go look at what is an adult in Pakistan. So an adult is 18, all right? Because if you're in Islam, if you're 15, you're an adult.
Exactly. From the time you become Pakistan.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
See, that's the problem with this law. Okay. But now if she's under 18 and she gets married under this new law and they have relations, okay, the boy will be put in jail for statutory rape, whether there's consent or not consent.
Mm. So this is blatantly on so many levels, it's going against Islamic laws.
Clearly.
Mm. And Mufti Sa-
number one, a woman can't be, if she's healthy and she not on a menses or anything like, she cannot refuse her husband. Okay. All right, but it says in the law, though, consent or not consent, it will still be considered statutory rape with 2 to 3 year imprisonment and also a fine.
Hmm. So, has this law been implemented, Mufti Sa?
Yeah, it's already in Sindh. Well, Karachi is in Sindh, the Sindh province. It's already here. Hmm. Okay, and it is in Punjab. Okay, but KPK, well, all the Pathans are, okay, that they want to put a bill in their area, but the Mobis there, they took it and they said, we're going to send this to the Council of Islamic Ideology, which is that special ulama council that's supposed to look at all the laws, okay, to make sure that they're in line with the Sharia. All right, so before we put this on over here, we're going to send it there. They're a recommendation body. They don't have power. Okay, so that's how these laws were able to pass in Sindh and in Punjab, because the Council of Islamic Ideology suggested that, no, you don't make a law, limiting the age. Okay, it's better to educate the people because it's a cultural problem. Okay, people are marrying their daughters, their 13-year-old daughters, to an 80-year-old man because the man will give a million rupees or something to the family to marry him, and the family is poor. All right, so there's a lot of that. All right, in Pakistan, where young girls are getting married off. And not for love or anything like that, but because the family is poor and a rich old man will pay. Okay. Mm. But you can't change the law. Mm. You can't change the Sharia to correct that. And that's what the people in KPK, they're talking about. All right. And that's what the ideology, Islamic ideology agency, they said, listen, this is, you can't do this. You cannot fix an age. Okay, but you have to educate the people. Mm. All right, this is a cultural thing that's very bad. Okay, I like that. So that's how we try to do it, though.
Mm.
You see, a lot of the problem was here in Sindh, there's a lot of Hindus, okay, who want to get out of Hinduism. Okay, they fall in love with Muslim boys. Okay, the girls fall in love with Muslim boys, and if they get married, now they get out of the house. Okay, and they can live with with the husband. And they're still, quote, children, according to Pakistan. Mm. So Sindh was the first province to put this thing in, because a lot of the Hindu girls were saying, well, I'm going to accept Islam so I can marry this boy, and then I can get out of this, you know, problem with my house. And Sindh said, no, we can't do that. So there's a problem with conversions. You cannot convert. A Muslim cannot convert a Hindu in Sindh who's under 18. Okay? They cannot convert until after 18, because allegedly there was forced conversions done here. All right? If the Hindu girl falls in love with a Muslim boy, and she's like, okay, I'll accept Islam, okay, so I can marry him. The parents say, no, he forced her to accepting it.
Yeah. This is interesting, but we'll just have to... the part which... No, what's interesting is that we just tend to ignore all of this here. And over, it goes back to one thing. That the law of Allah doesn't mean much. It is just basically, even in this year where you're saying conversions taking place. So now, but what was the basis for it? It was love before marriage. And so what barakah can be out of that? Because the niyyah plays a vital role. A person who goes, it comes in the hadith, the first hadith in many hadith kitabs. You're making hijrah for this reason, but it was for a particular woman, then it was based on that. It wasn't based on Islam or something. So sometimes it does happen where a person, they realize their mistakes and they become better people, but that doesn't become a proof to make it correct. The hukam will still remain the same. And this year, that's an exception where Allah Azza wa Jalla gives those people hidayat. That's something different on its own. But Mufti, we'll have to speak more on these issues tomorrow, inshallah. We appreciate your time and giving us your beloved country, Pakistan's background and what the current issues there.
Bite your tongue.
But yeah, inshallah.
Jazakallah. Thanks for having me.
Assalamu alaikum.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.